Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right. Welcome to another NAIAF Ball Podcast for you NAIA football fans. I'm Corey Thorpe. We are powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974, celebrating their 50th anniversary. You've been doing it for 50 years. I think you're going to be pretty good at it, and they absolutely are. But tonight we have Coach Chuck Hepola from Evangel. Coach, you are entering, this is your 10th year as a head coach, a decade here, isn't it?
Yeah, almost. Well, it'll be my 10th year at Evangel, but my 9th year as the head coach. So yeah, it's been fun.
But man, what a year. I mean, it's your first year in a new conference. You switch over from the Heart. It's been a tough last few couple of years for Evangel trying to find your place. You switch over to the KCAC. Not only do you win the KCAC, you go through unblemished. Talk about this beautiful run here through the regular season that y'all were able to have.
Yeah, you know, it was a historic season at Evangel, and I think any time you go undefeated during the regular season, it's something you should be very proud of. I mean, I don't care what the level is. That's really, really hard to do. It's obviously a lot easier to lose games than it is win games. And so just really proud of our kids, proud of our, proud of our coaches, just proud of our team. Because, you know, we've been knocking on the door for years. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, I think we five of the last 7 years, we've been in the top 25, and we played the last week of the season to win a conference championship, and we've won two of them, you know, during that span. And so we've been knocking on the door, but it was one of those years that you will always remember. And this is a team that probably the history books at Evangel will always be remembered. So,
absolutely will. It is... It's a team that went further in any season since 2005. So it's definitely one for the history books. One thing I want to pick your brain on, especially early on in your schedule, of course, you're going into a new conference, a new way of doing things. You've got new divisions for everybody. You know, trying to figure out how that's going to work out, and your first game is at the is against the team that has run the KCAC for most of the last 10 years, Kansas Wesleyan. Talk to me about starting it off big against K-Dub.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a really good, you know, opener for us, opener for regular season, opener for the KCAC, and really a team that has traditionally been very good the last few years. And so we were fortunate enough to get them at home, and our kids played really well, and just was pleased with, you know, getting a top 25 win right off the bat. And that's really helpful that, you know, they're a very well coached team. They have, just a great program. And so for us to be able to get that win right off the bat, that was huge for us.
And as we go through the season, one of the things that really stands out to me about your team is their ability to find ways to win, especially in tight ball games, whether it's the 14-7 win at Tabor. 59-42, if you do the math, is 17 points, but that's a high scoring one. You just got to get a couple stops there at St. Mary. A one score win at home against Ottawa of Kansas, who is obviously a playoff team. A 9-point win at home against a Friends team that's going to be really dangerous. A 10-point win at McPherson. A 3-point win at Southwestern. And then you cap the season off, your regular season off, that is, with a double overtime thriller at home against Bethel. Talk to me about your team's resilience and able to pull it out.
Yeah, that's you know, something that we talk a lot about in our program, and we're big believers that the team that makes the least amount of mistakes wins. And so we pride ourselves on being very disciplined. In fact, if you look historically, we've been one of the least penalized teams in the country. So we spend a lot of time making sure that our guys understand that every play matters when you're out there. And we talk about that so much that when you get into, you know, games, tight games like that, our kids believe, you know, that they can still win the game, whether we're up or whether we're behind or whether we're tied. And it's just a mindset that we have, and just really proud of our kids, because it's something that we coach and we teach. And you know, we practice situations during fall camp. We practice situations during the regular season during the week. And so we put ourselves in some interesting situations and just see, you know, the outcome. And so it's, you know, it's kind of, if you really look, since we've been together as a staff, that's basically how we've won games over the years. And it's just winning a lot of tight games, but it's making the least amount of mistakes. And again, you know, last thing that we preach a lot is if you take any football game, unless you are just crushing somebody 50-0 or something like that, but if you take any football game, there's five key plays in every game that if you take those five key plays out, the opposite team wins. And so we always talk to our team about, when we're at practice, is this one of the five key plays? And so we want to make sure we're fundamentally sound and we're understanding that every play matters. And so we've been fortunate over the years to have won a lot of games, and we've won a lot of tight ones.
So through our kind of tour of the NAIA playoffs so far this offseason, talking with coaches, I've been kind of getting a survey of, you know, from different teams' perspectives of how the initial 20-team playoff went. We've heard from people who hosted the first game in that opening round, that first round. We've heard from teams who had to travel that first round. Y'all got to buy that first round. And, you know, obviously your season doesn't end the way you want it to. Injury to your starting quarterback just makes that supremely difficult in a game in which you were keeping up and fighting and about to take the lead against Bethel at their place. But talk to me about that bye. How nice was that bye to be able to get all your ducks in a row to get out to McKenzie?
Yeah, being able to get, you know, that open week was really huge, you know, for us. Just to be able, excuse me, I got something in my throat. But just being able to kind of collect ourselves and get ourselves back healthy. And the unfortunate thing is we didn't know who we were playing. And so we couldn't really prepare a game plan for somebody. So what we did that week is just kind of took care of ourselves. We kind of treated it like a regular season bye week. So we only practiced, I think we gave him Monday off, and we practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, which is what we typically do on a bye week. And so it gave us enough time to be able to really work on ourselves and just make sure that we're fundamentally sound. So, you know, the bye week was honestly huge. I would love that anytime, you know, we were in that situation again. Also love the 20 teams because, man, goodness gracious, if they would have been doing that for years, we would have probably been in the playoffs in 17, 18, 19, and then a pretty good chance in 2022. So all those years, we might have had a pretty good chance of being in during those years. So yeah, I thought it was great. It just adds more teams, and it just makes it a little bit more creative, and And I've got no issue with what the NAIA did there.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the 20 as well. I mean, when you expand playoffs, there's always a concern that by expanding the field, you're going to lessen the product on the field. I just don't think that happened. I mean, you know, maybe that'll happen next year. I don't know, but it certainly did not happen this year.
Yeah, with only 20 teams, I mean, you're going to, even with 20, you're going to leave out some really good football teams. But yeah, it was pretty evident during the playoffs that you could clearly see the level of play and the type of teams that were in the playoffs. And so, you know, we were just thrilled to death to be able to represent Evangel University and the KCAC and really the type of football we play.
Let's take a look at your team coming back. There's a couple of question marks on offense, and it's still early yet. When we're recording this, it's late January. Folks are still deciding what they want to do a little bit. So there's a couple guys still up in the air for your offense, but obviously the big question mark is going to be after the departure of R.J. Wakely, obviously a senior, an all-conference first teamer in the KCAC for you, a dual-threat guy with 4 touchdowns on the ground along with 28 through the air. Talk about how you find a replacement and tweaking the offense to be successful for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, R.J., I mean, goodness, he was 18-4 in 2 years, you know, as a starter. And you know, he was just a tremendous leader. I saw a lot of growth in him when he first came to Evangel. He had a little bit of development that he needed from on the field and off the field. And he did that. And then he probably became one of the better leaders I've ever been around. And I've been doing it for, goodness, next year I think it'll be 33 or 34 years for me. And so, he was well respected and earned that and had a lot of fun. You know, he had a healthy perspective on what he was doing. I mean, he knew when to take it serious. He knew when to have fun. And so replacing people like that is hard to do. But, you know, we've got 3 young men that are, you know, on our team right now that Hayden Conrad and Matt Allen and Kenny Spring, and those guys have been in the program and gotten some reps. In fact, all 3 of those guys have played on Saturday. And then obviously we'll recruit some quarterbacks as well. So we feel like we've got some guys that are on campus and some guys that we'll recruit, and they'll get a chance to compete. And I mean, it's football. I mean, the football is about competition, and it's about getting the ultimate team out there because it's the ultimate team game. And so it'll just be fun to see how it all pans out.
On defense, you returned the 13th ranked defense by SP Plus rankings. 4.19 yards per play allowed is nothing to sneeze at. You return a first team all KCAC player at each level of your defense, including brothers Zach and Bradley Myers, who combined for an absolutely egregious number of tackles, 216 between the two, 33 tackles for a loss, 15 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 2 pass breakups between the brothers. And Nate Swafford in your defensive secondary was a turnover machine, 2 forced fumbles, 3 picks, along with 76 tackles. You know, you do have a couple spots to fill at your linebacker position, along with some of your D-line depth, obviously. You always want to keep them rotated in and out. But talk to me about getting even better on defense.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously Brad Myers, and Zach Myers, I mean, those are 2 All-Americans that are returning. And Brad led the nation in tackles. And so, I mean, he had an unbelievable amount of tackles. I think it might have been 159 or something like that. But, I mean, it was unbelievable. Or maybe it was 139. It was something like that. But it was unbelievable amount of tackles. And he was averaging double digits in tackles. And so, between those guys, you know, the defensive front, you know, Zach plays on the defensive front. That's a big part of thing that we emphasize, obviously, the linebacker role. We've got a couple linebackers that actually, On paper, it doesn't look like they're, you know, we've got returners, but Joey Sylvester has started for us. Riley Childs has started for us. So those two guys actually, got injured during the season. And so they're both returning. And then, of course, in the back end, we got both corners returning, both safeties returning. And really Jeremy DeSoto and our defensive staff does a great job on defense. Goodness gracious, I think, again, 5 of the last 7 years, we've had the defensive player of the year in the conference, you know, whether it be the Hart or the KCAC. And so so we've had some really good players over the years, and we believe in the development we do. And in fact, the development is starting right now as we speak. I mean, you know, our guys are working hard in the weight room, and then obviously we'll have spring ball that'll be at the end of March and April. And that's the development towards this new team, this 2024 team. And so it'll be fun to see them fly around, because our defense has always been one of the top defenses. And then on special teams, we majorly emphasize the special teams here at Evansville. And I've been a special teams coordinator for a number of years. And so I'm usually heavily involved in that. And I think anytime the head coach is involved in special teams, everybody's a little bit more alerted. So we take a lot of pride in what we do. We are a big believer that all three phases matter. And you heard me say earlier about those 5 key plays. Well, sometimes those 5 key plays is a PAT. And I mean, you know, we won a game years ago, 14-13, because we blocked a PAT. So obviously that proves that play matters.
Well, Coach, with special teams, I do have a question for you, something that just always drives me a little bananas when watching football, and that is with the current state of the rules with touchbacks on kickoffs. How do you coach your guys to know when to take that fair catch and start at the 25 and when to chance it?
Yeah, you know, we're going to look at we chart every kick. So when I'm game planning, I'll chart every kick that the kicker makes. So we have a little chart, and then I'll flash it up there for the team early in the week, and we'll let them know, hey, this is where this kicker kicks it. And so really we set up our return based off where he's going to kick that ball. And so we would fair catch it if we had a certain return on and they're kicking away from our return, or if it's deep enough in the end zone and we feel like that our return is not maybe designed well enough for their kickoff team, or maybe they're really good at covering. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but I can tell you this, majority of the time we're wanting to return the thing. We've had a lot of success at the kickoff return because of what we do. And we're pretty simple on special teams, but we're pretty consistent in what we do. Really our philosophy is on punt. We're going to flip the field on punt block. We're going to block the thing. So our goal is to block it on PAT field goal. We're going to block it. We blocked a lot of kicks over the years. And then on kickoff, we're going to pin you back and try to get you inside the 20, and then kickoff return, we're going to try to get the ball to at least the minus 35. And so that's what our goal is.
In a good year, obviously, on your kickoff return, averaging almost 19.5 yards per return, even if you catch it at the 5, that's still getting it back to the touchback line there. Yep. For you. And if you do that, if you fair catch the ball, even if you do it outside the end zone, you forfeit your chance to change the numbers on the scoreboard. So I definitely understand that sort of idea there.
Yeah, because kickoff, what we'll do is, I mean, if they've got a really special returner back there, I mean, we're smart enough not to kick it to him, you know? And so, I mean, if that guy is, I remember, goodness gracious, there was, we were playing Grandview a couple of years ago, and they got a player right now that's playing the NFL that was returning back there. And, you know, and I remember telling our kicker not to kick to him, and sure enough, he did. And then he took it to the house. And so, you know, those were things that's the kind of stuff, that's the nonsense that you don't want to do as a coach, and especially on special teams. You know, I mean, special teams is supposed to be special. and it's supposed to be the special part of your team. And so so we're going to try to make sure we're very, very fundamentally sound and we make good decisions in what we're doing.
Well, Coach, we all know that whether it's in your Christian walk, whether it's on the football field, whether it's at your job, if you're not constantly trying to get better at your craft and honing your craft, even, you know, someone like you who's been coaching for 30 years, you know, you always are looking to get better at this, that, or the other. But what area of your program, whether it's something on the field or off the field, are y'all really looking to home in on and improve in 2024?
Yeah, you know, so each year you've got a new team. And so, you know, the culture of our team is really important to us on how we go about our business. We want to play with class, and we want to be a very disciplined, fundamentally sound program. So I would say every year we are going to be honing in on fundamentals. And I always use this analogy. I always talk about school. Just think about when you're in school. You've got a really, really intelligent teacher. Let's say, for instance, a history teacher. And this guy just knows everything there is to know about history. Well, if he doesn't have good classroom management, then his knowledge level of history doesn't really matter to a certain degree because he can't seem to get the kids focused and pay attention. And so really, if they don't have good classroom management, then that knowledge of history doesn't matter. Well, we can have, so for comparison's sake, we could have all these tremendous plays. I mean, goodness gracious, we could sit here and watch the Chiefs or the Ravens or the 49ers, all these teams that are playing right now in these playoffs, and they drop all these great plays. Well, but if you're not fundamentally sound, it doesn't matter what play you're drawing up. So the fundamentals are always the thing that we are going to focus on the most. And then we're going to focus on the culture of our program. We always talk about culture is what you teach and it's what you tolerate. And so, you know, there's certain things we don't tolerate in our program, and then we teach certain things. And then basically our motto for our program is perfection is our goal, but excellence will be tolerated. And so, you know, that's what we're striving to do every year within our program. But it all starts with fundamentals and the culture of our program.
Yeah. I always loved that story of, it's probably apocryphal, honestly, of Vince Lombardi with the Packers at a practice and holding up a football and going, "Gentlemen, this is a football. Goal of this game is to get the ball across the goal line."
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about the greatest head coach probably in the history of the game. Yeah, I'll take it. I think he's better than Belichick. Having to deal with what he dealt with and leather helmets and making the team in Green Bay, yeah, he's got it. Doing that with a team of professionals, but man, if you don't block and tackle and do the little things right, you're not going to win diddly squat.
Yep, it's true. Yeah, I mean, the sport of football, the one thing I think we do as coaches, we shorten it, though. We'll say blocking and tackling are the most important things. But that's true. But also, if you think about it, if you are blocking, then you need to work on block destruction. And if you're tackling, you need to work on breaking tackles. And so it's not just blocking and tackling, it's block destruction and breaking tackles. And so those are things that, again, we talk a lot in our program about. In fact, we have kind of a list of things that we show our players and say, if you'll do these five things, then historically, the numbers show that you'll win the game. And one of the things is turnovers, and turnovers is the top thing. So there's a basic fundamental on how to carry a football, and you'll be amazed at how many guys can't do that right off the bat when they get to the college level. I'm like, how do you not know how to carry a football properly, or, you know, strip a football properly, or, you know, those things. And then there's explosive plays, but there's also making guys miss. And if you actually look in a lot of games, you know, I'm sure this next Super Bowl, all you got to do is watch and you'll see the team that has the most, you know, that makes them miss the most is the team that'll probably win the ball game. And so you got to be able to tackle guys. So,
yeah, I have recurring nightmares of being a Falcons fan watching Michael Vick run with the football. It terrified me every time holding the football like he was carrying a jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah, that as a coach would just drives me crazy. Drives me crazy.
Absolutely. So, Coach, we are so excited to watch some KCAC football. It was great fun to watch the divisions progress last year and see how they fell. And I tell you, it's gonna be fun again. You've got a great set of teams within the KCAC. Even in just the one Kessinger division with y'all, with friends, really getting to the investment into football and investment into winning with Bethel, who is definitely committed, with Southwestern, who has been very good the last 5-6 years. McPherson, who is picking it up on the other side with K-Dub, with Ottawa. With Avila, you pick up a guy who has NFL talent there. I mean, you know, and then you've got teams like Bethany who've been around for 100-some-odd years and have beaten Oklahoma. It's just going to be dadgum fun to watch how it unfolds. I think it's people don't give the KCAC enough credit. I think it's a good division.
Yeah, I really do too. And it's, you know, if you really look at it, I mean, there was a lot of parity. You know, there were teams beating teams each week, and you're going, wow, you know. And I mean, there were close ball games, and you know, you got a variety of teams. You know, like you said, you've got some option style teams, and you've got some spread it out teams. You've got a variety of things that are going on there, and some very well coached teams. And so, yeah, it's fun to see, see the different divisions. And then the KCAC is, you know, they've done something very unique too. And every 2 years they're going to reshuffle both divisions. And so that the sides of the divisions are, you know, at the proper strength. And I think that's actually brilliant. You know, I was in the Heart for a long time, and you kind of, if you reflect on that, you think, man, that would have made a lot more sense to do that in almost every conference, because then if you do have two divisions, then you're not really front loaded at the top, or vice versa. I mean, you've got really solid teams like that, and it'll be interesting to see where they place everybody. So, because it's, you know, it's a good football conference.
I mean, heck, especially a conference like the Heart, where you play everyone else anyway. I mean, they haven't the last couple of years, but if you're going to play round robin like that, you might as well reshuffle. It'll at least make it interesting. So,
well, you know, honestly, I had never thought about it until we entered the KCAC, and the first time. And it just shows that there are some original thoughts still out there. When we first joined the KCAC, and I think the very first meeting, I thought that was brilliant. You know, we should have been thinking about that and doing that all along. I thought it was great.
Let's shake the hand of the man who went, no, why don't we try this?
I mean, yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, I don't know who came up with that, but whoever it was, you're exactly right. They need to get their props.
I mean, with the COVID year being involved in there and trying to get around that, the way it was pulled off this year, this last year, might not have been ideal, but I absolutely believe that once you get the stuff in for 2025 and you're looking at 2 years of post-COVID football, yeah, it'll be perfect. So I'm so glad to have had an opportunity to chat with you tonight. Like I said, we are looking forward to KCAC football, and we'll see how it goes. Appreciate you coming on.
You got it. Appreciate you having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do,
head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.